Oh, man. Maybe not a lot of respect, but a little respect. I want to thank you for being here and want to welcome you to Northside Christian Church. We are delighted that you are here. And again, just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Appreciate all the effort and all the workers and all the volunteers. And by the way, soon we're not going to be Northside. Soon we are going to be Cross City Christian Church. And that's not a joke. That's not an April Fool's thing or anything like that. And we're excited about that. And it's going to be a several month long process, probably take till the end of summer for it to be completed. But we appreciate all the encouragement. Did you know, by the way, I have it on good authority that the very first Easter fell on April Fool's. Next year, 2018, Easter falls on April the 1st. And so we're all, you think this video was good. We got some ideas for next year. But I've got it on good authority. The very first Easter was on April the 1st. And the very first words Jesus said was April Fool's. Not April Fool's, you thought I was dead, but I'm alive. But April Fool's, you thought death was a problem. And it's not a problem. And friends, if death is not a problem, then nothing is a problem. Amen? Again, I'm thankful for your support for our transition into Cross City Christian Church. We're very excited about it. Our dream, our vision has not changed. We want to be a blessing to this community. If anything, it's become a little larger. It's bigger. We want to impact the city. That is our dream and that is our vision, and I appreciate all the positive response. Not everybody can be positive. How many know somebody who's not always positive? Yeah, anybody in your life? I heard a story about a barber who was not always positive. In fact, he was always negative. And one of his best customers came in, and the customer was all excited because he was taking his wife to Rome, and he was getting his monthly haircut, and he was telling the barber about his trip. And the barber said, "Rome? Why would you go to Rome? Why would anybody want to go there? It's crowded, it's dirty, and it's full of Italians, and you'd be crazy to go to Rome." I mean, he said, "How are you getting there?" He goes, "United." "United, oh, it's a terrible airline. Don't you watch the news?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, but we got a great rate. We're going on United." "Well, where are you going to stay?" He said, "Well, we're going to be at the downtown, you know, I don't know what it is, some sort of Holiday Inn. It's supposed to be the International Hotel." "Oh," he said, "that's a terrible hotel. You'll hate it. It's a dump. It's small. It's overpriced and all that." He said, "What are you going to do when you get there? He said, "Well, we're going to tour the Vatican." And then he said, "And we hope to see the Pope." "The Pope? Oh, man, that's hilarious. That's rich. The Pope. They lock him up there in that apartment. You'll never see him. There's a million people there that want to see the Pope. Nobody sees the Pope. That's ridiculous. Good luck on your trip. You're going to need it." And about a month later, after the trip, he was going in to get his monthly haircut, and the barber asked him how his trip went, and he said, "Man, it went great. Everything. I mean, the food was great. The trip was great. United Airlines was great. Yeah, it was a little overcrowded. Sure, they yanked a guy by his ankles all the way out of the airplane and into the hospital. But he said, they bumped us up to first class. It was great. We had a great time. And I mean, the hotel just had a renovation. It was wonderful." And he goes, Barbara said, "Yeah, all right. He goes, "Well, I bet you didn't get to see the Pope." He said, "You will not believe what happened. As we were touring the Vatican, one of the Swiss guard, those dudes with the funny pants, short things, they tapped me on the shoulder and said, sir, every now and then, the Pope likes to meet a family or two. This is once in a blue moon. Would you mind stepping in this side room and waiting 5 minutes? The Pope would like to meet you and greet you if that's okay." And he said, "Why, sure, that'd be fine." And I went off into this side room, and sure enough, about 5 minutes later, the Pope came in, and the Pope wanted me to tell him about myself, and I told him a few things about myself, and he asked me if he could bless me, and I said, "Sure," and I got down on one knee, and the Pope put his hands on my head, and the barber said, What did he say? He said, my son, where did you get that haircut? That's the worst haircut I've ever seen in my life." I always would enjoy that joke a little more if I had a lot of hair, but a lot of good things going on here. We've been in a series, 3 days that changed the world, and we've been from the garden, we've been in the upper room, and Jeremy got us going up that hill towards the cross, and Brent Boy, he preached a wonderful sermon Friday night on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and I get the privilege of proclaiming the resurrection again. Just this week, I reconnected, Facebook is weird this way, with an old professor from my Bible college days a long time ago. The first sermon that I heard, the first time I went into that chapel, the first sermon I heard was that professor's first sermon as a professor at that school. He was brand new. I was a freshman. And I will never forget, and we exchanged a few words about this week. Throughout that sermon, he had one line that he repeated over and over, and the line went something like this, and he verified it for me. Good news, good news. Have you heard the good news? Christ died for all of our sin. And that's really what Easter is about. It's about that empty tomb, but it's about proclaiming the gospel that Christ died for all of our sins. Some people wonder, what in the world's good news about somebody dying a bloody death on a cross? What's even good about somebody not being in the tomb where they're supposed to be in there? Folks, I hope to explain some of that to you this morning. I know you don't want to, but I'm going to ask you to do a little miracle and stand up and rise up, and we're going to read a little scripture here. And by a little, I mean basically the whole chapter. And I'll read, and when we get to the end, I want us to read a verse together, but let me read this first part, Mark 16, verse 1. The Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go anoint the body of Jesus. That was the custom, of course. Very early, everybody say very early. On the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, these women, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large. It was very early, and the stone's very large. Had been rolled away as they entered the tomb. That's an amazing thing. I'll get back to it. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed, as you would be. And don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen, not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you, trembling and bewildered. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. But when Jesus rose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons, and she went and told those who had been with him and were mourning and weeping. Those, by the way, the 11, they're hiding in the upper room. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, listen to this. This is the one of the amazing parts of this. They did not believe it. We saw him and they did not believe it. Verse 12, after Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country, these returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating and he rebuked them. How'd you like to your best friend come back to life and the first thing he does is rebuke you? He rebuked them for their lack of faith, their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And I want you, let's read this, let's start again and read verse 15 and 16. Together. Will you read it with me, please? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Thank you and be seated, and I appreciate you doing that, and may God always honor the reading of His Word. I guess what it comes down to for me is, do you believe? A lot of times on Easter, I try to explain the history and the veracity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and get into the nitty-gritty details and try to present all kinds of evidence and all of that. And I'm not against that. Like I said, I do it many Easters. But I guess what really matters is, do you believe in your heart that it happened and that He did it for you? I do. I believe that. And I want you to believe it. Say, why? Because it's your job and it's Easter? No. Because I want you to be safe. But I want you to be saved. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to miss out on a place the Bible describes very, very clearly, a place called hell. And so I want you to believe what I'm talking to you about today. Not the history part of it, but I want you to believe down deep in your heart. And listen, I don't want you to believe in it. I want you to believe in Him. And boy, if that can happen, somebody's going to have their life changed today. And it's exciting. If you have your notes, I hope you do, in your bulletin, I have just divided this thing kind of three ways here. The first part is what I call the announcement. The angels announced, He's alive. He's alive. And I want to just take a moment before I even get into any preaching. I know you're thinking, brother, when is this thing taking off? Don't worry, I can get it off the ground. Landing it is the problem. These women played a significant role in the events all throughout the cross and the crucifixion. And I know you know this, but in that culture, even today, women were second-class citizens. Can you imagine 2,000 years ago? And yet women played a significant role. It was the women who got there. They were worried about this large, gigantic rock, which would be sealed in front of the tomb. How are they going to get that? How are they going to anoint the body, the dead body, which was a custom of Jesus, with this? They're going to need some help. That's the only thing that was on their mind. And when they got there, it was rolled away. And can you imagine if it was rolled away, what you would do? Guess what these women did? They just went on inside the tomb. Brave women. And when they got there, they saw a man dressed in white. And they couldn't figure it out. I mean, it wasn't Steve Martin. And, you know, it wasn't Colonel Sanders. And wasn't somebody dressed in their Easter best. And it wasn't Jimmy Fallon dancing in his white pants. It was an angel. That's how the Bible describes angels many times, dressed in white. And the angels gave these women a couple of messages, these brave women. Two things they said. Two instructions which would be good for you today and be good for me today. The first thing the angel said was come in and see. Come in and look for yourself. Examine the tomb. Do all you want. Look for evidence. The tomb, somebody said, was empty, but it was full of significance. There was, as John's gospel describes, the burial cloth and the sheet were laying there like they had been folded up miraculously. They were just sitting there. Come on in, the angel said, and see. These women had seen a lot already. They knew he was dead. They had witnessed the torture and the crucifixion. They watched. They were there when they put that body into the tomb. They knew he was dead, but they were confronted with an empty tomb. That's where it always begins. Good news, good news. Have you heard the good news? Christ died for all of our sin. That is the good news. The Bible says in Acts 1 that Jesus offered the disciples many more convincing proofs that he was alive, but you always start with an empty tomb. Come on in and check it out. Number two, they said, go and tell. The angel said to these women, go tell the disciples that he is alive. And I love verse 8, as brave as they are and were. It says in verse 8, they were trembling and bewildered and they fled. And guess what? They didn't tell anybody. I mean, they're in shock. I'm not blaming them one bit. But the point I want you to know before we go to the next point is that we've been given the same message, twofold message. Come and see, go and tell. That's how we should live our lives. The whole New Testament, it's Jesus Christ yelling out to anyone who will listen, come and see, check it out, investigate, see if this is for you or not. We should live our lives that way. We should let people in. We should let them have a peek. We should invite them into our homes. We should invite them into our heart. We should invite them into our life. We should invite them into our church. Come on in, have a look. See for yourself. And then we should also go and tell. The Bible says over and over that we should go and we should tell people about the good news. We should be excited and boldly proclaim good news, good news. Have you heard the good news? Christ died for all our sin. We're a little leery sometimes. We're a little scared sometimes. I know this. I remember when I first started preaching, I had a church, and I'd go calling on all the visitors, and it was a small church, and we'd have about 2 visitors a month, and I'd get those addresses. Man, I'd be so excited. My dad taught me how to do this, and I'd go up to the door, and I'd usually have somebody with me, you know, and I'd knock on that door like I was Mr. Brave, and deep down in my heart, God knew. I was thinking, boy, oh boy, I hope nobody's home. Why? There's just something in us. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be the oddball. It's not the cool thing. But I'm telling you, the instructions are the same for each and every one of us today. Come and see. Go and tell. Second part, the disciples, they didn't even believe it. Think about this. They're in a room. They're weeping. Oh, Jesus is dead. And the women are out at the tomb doing all the work. They come running in and finally proclaim Jesus is alive, and the Bible says they didn't believe him. And then it talks about those two on the road to Emmaus. It was an 11-mile journey, by the way, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And Jesus somehow either changed their vision or changed his form. He was unrecognizable. And they were talking to the risen, resurrected Jesus, and they didn't know it. They were followers of him, but somehow, so Jesus had an 11-mile conversation. I'd love to have that on CD or DVD or podcast or something. And if you want the long written version, it's right here. It's in your Bible because it says he explained to them from Genesis all the way through about Christ, about the Messiah, about himself. He went into their house, and the Bible says that he was their guest. But it says that the guest became the host because it says that when Jesus broke the bread, he disappeared. I mean, poof. Because when he broke the bread, it says then they recognized who he was, and poof, he disappeared. I imagine those two running back that 11 miles, back to Jerusalem, back to where they were at, back where they were locked up, weeping and crying and mourning for their loss of their best friend. And they barge in and they said, guys, we got to tell you, we just saw him. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Good news, good news. Have you heard the good news? Christ died for all of our sin. He's alive. And I bet old Mary probably chimed in and said, see, I told you. And the Bible says the disciples still did not believe them. And so Jesus shows up. And he says, guys, what in the world is wrong with your faith? I've been telling you I was going to come back. And then I appeared to several people and they come and tell you that they saw me. And you don't believe them? You guys are as dense. You are as stubborn as a mule. Well, here I am. Now do you believe? And I'm sure they all kind of hem-hawed around like Barney Fife and said, oh, yeah, Lord, yeah, we've been believing you. Sure, yeah, now we believe. What a valuable lesson that I think is worth mentioning here today, obviously, is that I think the best proof of the resurrection is not an empty tomb. But really, the best proof is when you meet Jesus. I don't believe he is alive because of the arguments about the veracity, about the historical resurrection. I believe he's alive because he lives inside of me. I believe he's alive because he's my best friend. I believe he's alive because he walks with me and talks with me. By the way, Saul was the same way. Remember Saul, he was an actual brainiac. I mean, he knew all different languages, and he was a scholar of scholars, and he had heard all of these stories about the Messiah. Guess how many of them he believed? None of it. None of it. And one day he was on that road to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him. And when he met Jesus, he changed his mind. about everything. And from that moment forward, he began to preach and teach and proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, I think it'd be great if you ever got to go over there. I've done it, and see the place they call the empty tomb. It's very exciting. But you don't need to know that. You don't need to do that. You need to meet him. Salvation isn't about knowing about Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. The angels proclaimed it, pronounced it. The disciples doubted it. They said, we're not sure. And the last thing I want to tell you is that Jesus gave us a job to do. You say, what is the job that Jesus gave us to do? It's right here, folks. It's right up here, to go into the whole world and to preach the good news, good news. Have you heard the good news? Christ died for all our sin. That's our job. You see, our job as a church, North Side, Cross City, whatever you want to call it, it really doesn't matter that much. Our job as a church is not to be socially in tune and aware, even though that's what many churches believe they're called to do these days. That's not what God called us to do. It's not who he called us to be. And if you've been around here very long, you know that our job is not to be politically correct. Amen? I'm really good at being politically incorrect. I don't know how that goes. I'm rude, is what most people would say. Our job is not to be fashionably hip. It's a good thing. We're pretty safe there. Even though I've got a life coach that wants me to really connect, it's not our job. Our job is to boldly share the good news that Jesus died for our sin. And they put him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he came out of that grave. And because he came out of that grave, we really don't have a problem. If you don't have a grave problem, you really don't have a problem. That's why it's good news. If you believe him, not it, if you believe him. USA Today has reported that the church attendance across America is dwindling. You can almost see the writer smiling as he writes it. You can hear it in the tone of his structure. I got good news for you today. In spite of the world that is crazy, upside down, and tension-filled, and terror everywhere, and all the uneasiness in every corner of the globe, I've got news for you today. There is a revival. There is a spiritual awakening going on in his church today all around the world. And yes, some say that church attendance in America, our best days are behind us. That may be. But I can tell you this, there are churches all over America that are growing like crazy. And this church is one of them. There are many places throughout the globe where Christianity is booming. I'm going to give you some stats you're not even going to believe. In China, there will soon be more Christians there than in America. Some suggest their percentage, it may be as high as 15% of China is Christian. At the current rate of growth, there will be more Christians in China than the entire U.S. population by 2030. Did you know the fastest growing church right now is in Iran? In Iran! The second largest, fastest growing area as far as church growth today is in Nigeria. In fact, all over Africa, the church is booming. In Africa, in Asia, in parts of India, and even in Russia. I was just looking at some of these stats and some of these churches. Some of them run 100,000. It's unbelievable. And a lot of them do church just like us. I found a church in Russia, in Moscow, Russia. You know, the ones that affected all of our election. These guys. This is a church in Russia I just stumbled across. And as I was looking at it, I thought, man, this looks like our church. There's a life group there. It's just like something what we would have. And then here's a picture there. This is the Russian version of me and Sue Ann. This is Davitsky and Suansky, and You see, what are you talking about? As excited as we are about what God is doing here, He is doing so much more out there, and we get to be a part of it. I know the world's messed up, but the truth is, the more the world is messed up, the better the time to be able to say to them, good news, good news. Have you heard the good news? Christ died for all of our sin. It's a time for us. The Bible goes on in those verses I did not even read about how He will empower and He will protect and He will guide those who go out and take on this mission of proclaiming the good news. Come and see. Go and tell. Share your story. I showed a video last night, and I would like to show it tonight, but I want to set it up a little bit. It might take me a minute or two, because I need to say a lot in about 2 minutes. So I really wish somehow God would give you an extra dose of tracking, because we begin this series talking about the Passover meal. And I studied that, and I thought, what in the world does that have to do with resurrection? I don't see anything. And then Jesus, on the night before He was betrayed, remember, He kind of took the Passover meal and turned it into the Lord's Supper. And He said, do this until I come. Paul said this, whenever you eat and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. I thought, that's great. If it's all about the death, it has nothing to do about the resurrection. Just the Passover is all about the bloody thing. Remember Moses and the 10 plagues and the death of the firstborn, and He gets specific instructions about the blood on the top. That's all about the death. There's nothing about the resurrection. But the more I looked at it, the more I thought, I'm missing it. What that meant back there in Moses' day was that a lamb had to die so that somebody could live. Life comes out of that shed blood, that blood on the doorpost and the lintel and the top. You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Well, between the death and His coming back again is the resurrection. And so every time we take those emblems, the bread and the juice, we're saying we believe that His body was broken and His blood was shed, but we're also saying we believe that He conquered death 3 days later, and we're saying that we believe one day He's coming back for those who believe that, who believe not it, but believe in Him. A lamb had to die so that we could have freedom from slavery of sin, yes, but also freedom from the fear. What is our greatest fear? The fear of the unknown, the fear of death. When we take the Lord's Supper, that's the ordinance of the church. We're saying we believe this every time we do it. We believe He died and was buried and raised. When we're baptized, we stand there in the grave, and we're saying we're dying to self. We're buried into Christ, and we come back out of that grave. I want to show you this video. I think it's a beautiful video, but it's a little long, so bear with me and watch this, and then we're going to wrap it up.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I'm so happy, so happy, so very happy. And I'm so happy, so happy, so very happy. Down in my heart.
Do you believe? I want to just ask you, do you believe not in it, but in Him? I want to ask you, are you in Christ right now? When did that happen? When did you believe? When did He make you a new creation? 2 Corinthians, we read, if anyone, therefore, if anyone, everybody say anyone. That means you. You could put your name right in there. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old is gone. What a beautiful imagery that He left us. When anyone is baptized, they are identifying themselves with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lot of times in the New Testament, when people would say yes to Jesus, when they would submit and surrender to Jesus and they trusted Jesus and they put their faith in Jesus, a lot of times you can read throughout here, they would just spontaneously and immediately take that first next step of obedience, which is to be baptized into Him. And I want to ask you today, have you done that? If not, we want to give you that chance. And there's not a better chance in the whole world. In Acts 2, it was a holiday in Jerusalem, and Peter preached a little 5-minute sermon. I know you wish I could do that. And they got convicted, and they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, if you believe and you repent and you are baptized, you will be saved. And 3,000 of them did it right there on the spot. That was it. They didn't say, interesting, I think we should take a class on that. We'd like to hear more. We'll get to it when we feel like it, when we're up to it. When everything is ready, we'll wait till the holiday is over. They said, no, we're going to do it right now. And I'm wondering if there's somebody on this day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that maybe God is moving in your heart and spontaneously you just want to say today, I'm moving forward. I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I want to identify myself with that symbol of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to go down an old person and I want to come up a brand new person in Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here who would be willing and so bold to make that decision? It could happen today. And I would ask you, what is standing in the way from, what's keeping you from believing in Christ? What would keep you from being baptized today if you need to have that done? I want to tell you, right out here in front of our coffee shop, we have a fountain that's beautiful, and it's got stone. It's really, it's great, but it has a double purpose. And one of the main reasons we designed that is to use as a baptistry. And last night, we baptized, I think 29 people. And what happens, I don't want to get into the science of it because you know how smart I am, but underneath the ground there are these two, we call them bladders, and it drains that water that's in there and it fills that water back up with very warm water. I was in there last night. I'm telling you, it is fantastic. Not only is it heated, it is clean, it is chlorinated, and it is ready for you. And we're going to stand in a moment. I'm going to just wait on my signal. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you are here and you want to make this decision, we want you to do it. That's all you need to know, is that we've been working and praying and planning, and we are ready for you. And maybe there's somebody here who would say, I'm willing to receive Christ. I want to be anew. I want to identify with Him. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, I want to stand up and step forward for the one who stood up and stepped out of that grave. Maybe there's somebody here who would say, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to walk down there. I know that's crazy. I wasn't planning on it. But I'm going to do it in honor of the one who stood, who hung naked on that cross, and who bled on my behalf. I'm going to stand and step forward. Say, that's a pretty courageous move, preacher. Yeah. And all the amazing things I've found in life happen after you're willing to step out and take a little risk. I've talked a lot in the last few weeks how the Lord can change the world. I want to tell you, friend, none of that matters unless He's changed your world. And maybe this is your day to say, Jesus, I believe not in it. I believe in You. I believe You came out of that grave. And if You could change the world, You can change my world. And Lord, I could use a change today. Maybe some of you need to say, I could use a little remodeling, Lord, in my life. And I know some of you, bless your heart, you're thinking, well, that's a nice little hook there, but I couldn't do it today. Why not? Why not? Well, Easter plans. You know, we're going to go get some Easter traditional enchiladas here in a few. Friend, there is no better time than on the weekend. We're celebrating the resurrection. You say, I didn't bring any towels. I went yesterday and counted the towels. Counted them myself. We have 447,000 towels. We should name this church Towel City. I just thought of it. Preacher, well, I got my Easter clothes on. They're really nice. Listen, we have some fashionable shorts. These are not them. Oh, these are them. This is for a really skinny person, but we have fashionable shorts, all people, all sizes. We have these T-shirts that say forgiven on them, and that's what this is really all about. They also say Northside. These will soon be a collector's item, and I'm just saying, you get to have one free. Be very, very rare. I'll see a bunch of these on eBay. I know it. I just know it. What about my wallet? What about my purse? What about where would I change? We have designed the perfect changing room. We have plenty of them for both men and women. They're private. They're locked doors. Everything. We've thought of everything. What about my iPhone? What about my purse? We have security. They're undercover agents all throughout this auditorium right now. I don't even know all of them, they tell me. But I want Uncle Bob to be here. Preacher, next week Uncle Bob's going to be here, and I want him to see it. Listen, this isn't Uncle Bob's decision. It's your decision. And we'll have somebody to take a picture. We'll have it on video. You can show Uncle Bob 1,000 different times the day you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You say, David, I'm not a big fan of water. I had a little incident when I was a kid, and I've never been a big fan. What if you drop me into that thing? I don't know about this. Can I tell you, I've been baptizing people since I was 17. I'm not going to tell you how many years it's been. I need a whole lot more preacher dust to get into that. But I can tell you, I've never lost a one. Every single one I've buried, I've resurrected. I'm batting 1,000. Can you imagine if little old me, I have that kind of track record, what his track record's going to be like? Folks, he's got you. He's got you. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. I'm going to count to three. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you're here and you want to take that step, I just want you to know we are ready. We have people to assist you every step along the way. Just meet me down here at the front. I'm getting my shorts on. I'm getting my, not that skinny pair. I'm getting my shorts on. I'm going to get in that water, and I want to baptize you if you've never been baptized into Christ. Don't put it off. I know you think there'd be a better time. Friend, there's no better time. This is it. Let's stand. Let's sing together.